Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
Good morning and thank you for tuning into New Retirement Radio. My name is Shea Pataja. I'm from Prout Financial Design. Usually we have Dennis in the office, but Prout is out, is what we like to say. So I've got Heidi here in the studio, and we are doing a pre-record for you to listen to today, Thursday, and again on Saturday. I've got Heidi Thompson here with us. She's the Managing Director at Prout Financial Design. She is also a financial advisor. I'm going to read her disclosure real quick. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor. So, Heidi, welcome to the hot seat.
Thanks, Shay. It's great to be here today.
It's fun to be able to interview you like this. So, I've known you, I think we figured out, 11 years now.
That's a long time.
In fact, when I interviewed you at Prout, what was your favorite interview question?
Well, my favorite question that you asked me was, do I like chocolate? And I was quite relieved that I could say, yes, I do. And I can see why now you asked that question.
It's very important at Prout.
It is very important.
So how did you get to Prout Financial Design?
I started with Prout Financial Design back in 2009, and prior to that, when I first graduated from college, got a degree in finance from the University of Illinois, and I went to Chicago. I worked for several different places, a bank holding company, and Deloitte & Touche, which is a big accounting firm. I worked in their consulting division for financial industries. And throughout the years, I've worked at various situations in different kinds of companies, all dealing with either retirement plans or trust accounts or some kind of financial analysis.
So then what brought you to Prout? How'd you find us?
Well, I found you because 2008, 2009, which most of us remember, was a difficult time, and I found myself in the position of having to find a new job. And I ended up at Prout to do the statements, the asset management statements, and to clean up some of that software and do some analysis for the firm.
It's so funny now because we have the client portal. They can just log in and see their statements. So that tells you how far we've come with being able to serve clients too. And you're obviously very relieved not to be creating every client statement.
That's true. It took a long time and a lot of effort, and we've certainly come a long way at Prout in our technology capacities to offer that information to the client on a daily basis instead of a quarterly basis. So
it's a fun way to see things progress. So, and now you spend about half your time, you'd say, with clients?
I do. I see clients on a daily basis based on, you know, scheduling, and I still have some duties managing the office, the firm on a whole. So I sort of put those two roles together, and any certain day I'm running this way or that way.
Well, you're very good at it. Multi-talented woman. I think you probably learned most of those skills being a mom. That's the most serious job there is in the world, correct?
It is. It's the best job in the world, and it's the hardest job in the world. So
tell me about your kids.
I have three lovely daughters. They are each unique, and they each have wonderful talents, and it's really exciting to see them grow up here in Traverse City and move on and spread their own wings in their careers.
For example?
Well, I have Holly, my oldest. She is graduating from law school, so I'm really excited about that. My middle daughter, she graduated from Grand Valley State University 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and then my youngest is still in high school. She's a junior.
All right. And they're all so smart, and we've had so much fun with them. They've all worked at the office, so we've got to watch them grow up, which is awesome. So Mother's Day is around the corner, the other reason we wanted to do a pre-record. And what did you teach your daughters about money?
Well, I tried to, like, mirror an example to them, and that hard work pays off. Especially, I got divorced when my kids were younger, and we had to sort of start over. We moved to Traverse City. I had to start from square zero, I like to say. And put in a lot of time and a lot of work and a lot of effort to be able to take care of them and to take us through the difficult times.
So give me some of the financial tips you've given them.
Well, I've tried to always teach them that you have to live within your means. And that meant a lot of times that we couldn't do some things that we would have liked to do. But I did taught them that you don't want to overextend yourself and get yourself in a hole, because we were starting from square zero and moving forward. We really had to be careful with our assets or with our resources and how we spent them and what we did with them.
Mm-hmm.
So every decision had to be thought out, and, you know, do we really need this? Is this something we really want to do? And make those hard choices.
Something that I've observed with single parents is that it tends to be a team effort. I've watched kids really want to help and support their parents in being single parents. And that's what's pretty cool, I guess, is a positive spin on it, right? The situation may not be awesome, but it creates somewhat of a teamwork dynamic.
It does. It does create a, like, you know, we're in this together. We've got to persevere and make it through. And with a lot of hard work, we've really improved our situation, and we're able to do things now that I never imagined that we'd be able to do. But it's fun to be able to see it from the other side. When you're going through it, it's not as fun, but it does pay off, all those hard and tough decisions that you make.
Well, yeah, and two of them are off the payroll now, so that's pretty awesome.
Almost off the payroll.
Almost off the payroll. You're so close to that moment, Heidi, so congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like we should have a party for you as their mom. Two are graduated. Let's celebrate Heidi.
Sometimes the parents should have a party after getting them through.
So you guys worked really hard on the budgeting and the details and the minutiae of just making it.
Yep.
Right, is a little team. And how did you go from the leap of doing budgeting to becoming a financial advisor?
Well, when I came on board with Prout, as we talked about earlier, came on for a different thing than what I do now. But Dennis had a lot of clients coming in and wanting to see him, and he just can only be there so much. So he asked me if I'd be willing to put in the time and effort to get my licensing and start myself down the path of being an advisor. So I took advantage of that opportunity, and I took all the classes, I took all the security exams, my insurance tests, and came out, and I actually passed them, so that was exciting.
You beyond passed them. You aced them.
Yeah,
let's be honest. You guys are all very smart.
Well, you get really nervous when you haven't taken a test for like a couple of decades, and you're like sitting there, and it's like you have to pass. So I came out the other side, and that's one way that I moved ahead this way and got to the career that I have today, is putting in that work with the education and training and taking advantage of those opportunities.
Why do you love being an advisor? Or maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. Maybe you don't love it.
I do love it. And, you know, it was a surprise to me, in fact. I mean, I've always worked with numbers. I've always loved being an analyst and putting the pieces together. But once I started meeting with clients, I found that I really love meeting with clients and putting their situation and looking at the resources we have and using the strategies that I've studied to put those together for a plan that can help them be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you feel really good if you can help someone have a better retirement than they thought they could, or to make their situation better, or solve that problem that they didn't think they could accomplish, or keep them from making a big mistake. That's another thing that makes you feel like, wow, I'm really glad that I learned that so that I could pass that information on.
That's so awesome. And you really do shine in that role. So kudos to you, Heidi. You just went to the Ed Slott Conference. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back from that, I want to hear what you learned at the Ed Slott Conference. You brought up two really great points, something about NUAs and then a loan from a 401k, and I was like, what is that? So when we come back, we're going to unpack that, as they'd say. All right, thanks so much for tuning in. When we come back, Heidi Thompson, financial advisor at Prout Financial Design, is going to talk about everything she learned at the Ed Slott Conference. Welcome back. You are listening to New Retirement Radio. My name is Shay Pataja. I am the co-host of this show with Dennis Prout. And Prout is out, is what we like to say. And I've got Heidi Thompson, our other financial advisor, in the hot seat today. We're talking about her career in finance, and we're going to focus on women in finance towards the end of this interview. But right now, I want to talk about the Ed Slott Conference you just came back from. Let's start with, for those who don't know, who is Ed Slott?
Well, Ed Slott is a CPA, and he is an expert in IRA rules and tax issues. He deals with all types of retirement planning tax issues and is often seen on some of the bigger networks.
PBS, right?
Yep. He does a PBS show. And in fact, they were talking about his most recent show at the conference, and he's in the top five of pledges. So when they play that and they're asking for pledges on the public broadcasting station, he's in the top five of bringing pledges in. So that was exciting to hear that people responded to the information that he was able to give people.
Why does a financial advisor need to learn about taxes?
Well, taxes are a really important part when you're in retirement because they can have big impact on what your money can do for you or what income you're able to pull from your various resources in retirement. Taxes are something that is intricately involved in retirement planning because a lot of the money that people put away in their 401ks or IRAs is what we call pre-tax money and gets taxed when you take it out. And retirement is when you take that money out. So you want to have a strategy when you're taking that money out that you keep your taxes as low as possible. And so it is a key element when you're thinking about how am I going to draw on this money that I've saved all this time in retirement.
So retirement is really a tax game.
There is a tax game. It's not entirely a tax game, but it is a major portion of it. And that's why that information that Ed's able to give to us at these conferences is so important because it helps us do a better job for our clients and helps us lay out what are the ramifications of different decisions and what that will mean to them.
Sure. So what did you learn?
Well, a couple of things that they focused on this time was NUA, like you mentioned earlier.
And I actually know what this means, which is terrifying that I've learned these terms, net unrealized appreciation.
That is correct. That's very exciting, Shay.
Yeah, it's very exciting. See, if I can learn, everybody, you can learn. So what is NUA?
NUA has to do with when you have a 401k plan or some kind of employer plan, if you have your employer's stock in there and it has appreciated dramatically over time. So say you worked for a company and part of what you can invest in your 401k is that actual company stock. Well, 30 years later, it could be worth a lot more. And NUA is a strategy to keep you from having to pay tax on the entire appreciation of that stock. And it is a strategy that we can use to help lower those taxes for the client in that situation.
How often do you see NUAs at the office?
We see a handful, maybe five or six each year, or possibilities. And every situation is unique. So you have to look at the situation and say, you know, is this going to benefit the client? What do things look like at this time? Because, you know, the market, it's moving all the time. The stock could be up. The stock could be down. So you want to look at it at the point of time when you want to make the jump from an employer plan to maybe an IRA or something like that and see, is this something we can take advantage of or is it not going to offer us much and maybe we shouldn't do it?
See, and that's exactly why financial advisors exist, right? So I hear often from people, why would I come see Dennis or Heidi? And to me, it's a very much a creative industry, which you wouldn't think of, but it is creative because it's all about strategy and knowing the complexity of all these pieces and how do they fit together and how do you move them around. And each situation is so unique to the individual.
That is true. And that is the central thing in retirement planning is being able to, given where we are, with the laws the way they are, with the market the way it is, what is the best pathway for this person at this time and what do they want to accomplish? So you're right, it's the strategy meeting the personal story, meeting all of the technical stuff, all of the laws that you have to follow.
So, okay, potentially I'm a client, I come in, I want to take a loan out of my 401k. What does that mean? Why would I do that?
Well, you're right. This was another topic that we discussed at the conference. And there are quite a few rules on taking out loans in your 401k. It can be a great idea for some people. What a 401k loan is if you have a employer plan, that's a 401k, and you're building up and you're contributing money to that, and you have a bit of money in there. Well, if you had a short-term need, meaning something that you could pay back in about 5 years, you can borrow money from yourself, really.
Okay.
And pay it back over a 5-year period. That's a 401k loan. There's a lot of rules when you borrow money from a 401k plan about paying it back, how long you can pay it back. The nice thing is you're borrowing it from yourself and you're paying the interest to yourself versus maybe buying it on a credit card and paying those high prices or some other situation or some other vehicle that you would borrow money from. You want to make sure that you can pay it back and you keep paying it back. There are some rules about if you stop making payments, if there's a deemed distribution, meaning they say, oh, you haven't paid it back, so we're going to assume that this was a withdrawal from the 401k plan, then you could run into penalties and taxes. So it is something that is a great opportunity, but you want to walk into it with your eyes wide open because there are a lot of rules and you can get yourself in a bad situation if you find that you're not paying it back or you change jobs. You want to make sure that you're looking at all these different scenarios before you do that.
Before you decide to use money from that plan.
Correct.
It's kind of doubly risky, right? Because if you don't have the money to begin with and you do need to borrow it, then you do have to find that money eventually to pay it back within the time frame that they give you.
Right.
Am I understanding that correctly?
That's true. But also, it is an opportunity because if you're going to borrow that money anyway and you borrow it from yourself, you're paying yourself the interest back.
There you go.
Instead of paying
okay.
a bank. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there's a lot of parameters that you have to stay between. And if you're not willing to do that, then maybe that's not the right choice. It's also convenient in the fact that most companies will, on your payments, will take it right out of your paycheck.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool idea. So how many advisors go to these conferences?
There were probably about 300 people
wow.
at this.
And yeah. it's 2 full days, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. There's 2 groups. There's the elite group where when you first join this advisor group, you're in the elite group for like 2 years. And once you've been there in 2 years, you move to the next level, which is called the master elite, which you dive even deeper into these topics. And so that gives you another half day of instruction.
That's awesome. And you and Dennis are both Master Elite Advisors.
That's correct.
Yes. And I want to let everyone know that Ed Slott will be on our show live in a couple weeks. So I have him booked to be on the air, and that will be super fun. Get your notebooks out. Get ready. Hydrate. Exercise. Just kidding. Ed is just so full of energy, it's difficult to consume all that he throws at you in a conversation, but it's really awesome. And hey, you know, if someone's going to teach about taxes, they better be interesting.
Well, you know, that's the nice thing about Ed is he's very easy to listen to. He keeps your attention. He's not just a speaker that gives you this, the dry facts, but he empowers it with actual situations, and he makes it interesting. So you're engaged while you're listening to him. And so it's easy to learn in that kind of situation.
I think it's also really easy to learn from John Sluice. We had him on the air last week, and I was in the studio listening to make sure y'all stayed on track.
That's right.
I had to keep myself from laughing out loud just because he gets so excited. He totally geeks out on the numbers and the tax advantages and what you can do. And I'd have to say him and Ed might be two of my favorite tax people to listen to. So anyways, that being said, I do want to move on and talk about women in finance. So let's take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we're going to talk specifically about your story, what came from your story, and then how you and I are creating an opportunity for women to come and learn how to master their finances. So Heidi, tell us a little bit about your story.
My story? Well, we talked a little bit about my past work history. Mm-hmm. I got divorced and I moved to Traverse City about 15 years now since I've been here. And so when I came here, I mentioned that I was starting at square zero.
What does that mean? I'm going to stop you there. You've said it like three times. What does square zero mean?
Well, most people start at square one, so I was even behind square one.
Okay. We can laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then.
Right. It was a struggle, and I was involved in a lot of litigation, and I had a lot of legal costs going on and just a lot of emotional struggles that my children were facing. So we sort of started from nothing, and we had to put that stuff into place. So that's where we were when we started here. And so one thing that has given me is a perspective. Being able to relate to a lot of the struggles that other women face in their situation as well. And hopefully it's given me more understanding of how to work past some of those pitfalls, especially in people's financial lives as they work with these different situations that can be quite challenging.
You and I are working on a class called Flourish.
That's right. It's so exciting.
It's so fun. We're on our fourth year, right?
Our fourth class.
Thank you. Yes. Gosh, time flies. All right. So where did the idea for Flourish come from?
Well, as I was becoming an advisor and I was sitting with Dennis and partaking in some of the meetings and learning some strategies and just observing some of the women that I met in the meetings, they would call me after the meeting and they would ask me some questions. They would ask me what certain terms meant. What did it mean? What was that they agreed to? And if I could explain it in a little more detail. So this happened on a periodic basis, and I had approached you and said, it's very curious that I'm meeting these women and they're calling me afterwards with these questions. And you and I sitting together, we sort of threw this back and forth, and we're like, wouldn't it be great if we could offer something where women could feel safe, where women could feel comfortable, mm-hmm. that they could ask any kind of question about finances and learn some of the basic terms and tools. And that way they wouldn't have to feel like they didn't know what was going on or they were agreeing to something that they weren't really sure of what it was. Because mm-hmm. finance and investing can be quite complex.
It's intimidating.
It is. And sometimes if you don't have the basics or it's not your passion, it's my passion, but my clients, they have other passions. They're doing their jobs. So if I can help them understand how things are put together and how they work, I feel like they can make better decisions and they can be more confident and then they can actually participate in some of these discussions. There are lots of women out there who have a great idea of finances and know what they're doing, but there's a lot of people as well who don't. And we just wanted to offer a platform for those two sides to get together so that we could learn together. Because you and I know that women are really relational, mm-hmm. and we do really well when we can bounce things off each other and hear your experience and go, okay, is that similar to mine? And it makes us think more, and I think we make more progress when we're able to collaborate together.
Women are master networkers.
I think so.
So we're giving them this platform and this idea, and I'll never forget when you came to me and said, yeah, I find it very curious that I'm getting so many calls after meetings when I feel like we were very clear in the meeting as to what was happening. But it was more the embarrassment factor. Like, I'm just embarrassed that I didn't know this and I didn't want to stop the meeting to ask this question. And so that's what the Flourish class is all about. And we are hosting that on June 6th at the Country Club from 6:30 to 9 p.m. I know that seems late, but the other Flourish classes we've done, they've all requested that it go later.
But so we give them more information.
They wanted more time and more information to connect. So if you are interested in that, you can call Meg at our office, 947-3992. There is no cost to attend, but there is limited seating. So, Heidi, who have you seen show up to the Flourish events?
Well, we've had a lot of our clients show up, of course, and some of their guests. And one thing that I really didn't expect, but it was really exciting to see, was a lot of people brought their daughters or their granddaughters or their daughter-in-laws to come and learn this stuff as well, sort of passing on the knowledge, or they know, hey, they should know this, so I'm going to bring them with. And I was really excited to see that, because people are really thinking and they're really networking and they're helping each other out to get the information that they need.
Why do women need to care about money?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, and I think you even have some statistics that you can give about women in the workforce and some of those reasons why, you know, even if you don't have to take care of the finances right now, maybe that's not one of your tasks. Someday it may be. So it's a good idea to sort of know what's going on.
Well, women live longer than men. We kind of all know that one. Women have fewer years in the workforce because they tend to be the ones that take time off to raise the children, and they tend to be the primary caretakers for their parents or their in-laws and their husbands if they get ill. So there's time off work there.
And sometimes they're doing both of those at the same time, children and parents.
Yeah, they call that the sandwich generation, when you're kind of stuck in between helping them both out. Yeah, my mom is in that situation. She helps me out on occasion. So, but it's pretty neat here, because Fidelity did, it seems like all the stats are stacked against us, right? You can look at the pay gap. You can look at, I mean, 2/3 of people getting Alzheimer's are women. I mean, it just looks pretty daunting. 50% of marriages end in divorce. The majority of women will end up handling their finances by themselves.
At some point.
Mm-hmm. But what I found cool was that Fidelity analyzed over 8 million investment accounts, and they came to the conclusion that women's portfolios tend to deliver higher returns. Why is that? Well, specifically, female investors outpace males by 0.4% annually. And while that may not seem like a lot at first, remember that it could have a major impact over the course of a 20, 30, 40-year savings window. Fidelity estimates that for a 22-year-old worker starting out with an annual salary of $50,000, a female investor will come away with over $275,000 more than her male counterpart by virtue of higher returns coupled with higher savings rates. So I'm reading this article from Marie Beckman. She wrote this last year, and 4 reasons why women make better investors. And the other reason she gave here is that women tend to save more in the first place, including in their IRAs. Women tend to take less needless risk over time. And women tend to have the right attitude. So this is our edge right here, is that we tend to be more patient. Fidelity reports that women tend to build financial plans to meet their life goals rather than fixate on investment performance along the way. And it's this long-term approach that often prevents them from reacting to market downturns and making rash decisions that result in losses. Additionally, women are 33% less likely to engage in the trading activity than men do. So I don't know. That kind of was encouraging to me to read this and put this all together for Flourish, because you and I are writing this. This is all original content this year. So we've refreshed all of it.
Yep.
What are you the most excited about for this class?
Well, I'm just excited to see who comes to the meeting, and I'm excited to see if the information that we've worked really hard on translates to them and that they can find some nuggets in there that are going to make their situation better or help them make better decisions. Because, you know, wherever you are in life, you know, you have to start from where you are. We can't change the past. The past is done. But I firmly believe that everybody can make steps today that can make their financial future better. Even in a small way, it still has an impact. So the worst thing that people can do is to do nothing. And inaction is like the worst choice, because you can always make some kind of positive change to make your future better. I just hope that that's some of the stuff that comes out and flourish. And I always enjoy meeting people and hearing their questions, because it definitely helps me be a better advisor when I know what are the things that are on people's minds. And that's one of the best ways to do that, is to get out there and meet people and hear what they have to say.
Yeah, and we've seen everyone from like the novice to the most savvy investor come to these
events. That's true.
So that's fun for me to be able to watch that. We just finished up talking about Flourish. That's the event that Heidi and I have created for women to learn investment strategies. I do want to go back to that really quick.
Mm-hmm.
We've broken that down into, we took it into this big picture, right? So Shay is the big picture visionary type. Heidi is definitely good at the detail and don't forget this and don't forget that. She keeps me on track all week. So we took the big picture idea that in retirement, you have three phases.
Mm-hmm.
The first phase is your accumulation phase.
That's right.
And then most advisors just have two phases they think about. They think about accumulation and preservation.
Preservation.
Those are the two places they tend to look. But you and I gave definition to this middle ground, which is the transition phase.
Yep.
So everyone knows accumulation. Those are your working years. That's
well,
when
maybe not everyone knows.
Oh,
Shay.
Okay. So well, I'm assuming a lot. Explain it a little bit more then.
Accumulation phase. This would be when you're younger. Probably all the way up until about 5 to 7 years of retirement. This is where you're, like the word says, accumulating assets or accumulating money and savings. There's a lot of ways to do this. You can do this in your 401k, or you can do it in individual IRAs. There's Roth IRAs. You can start non-retirement accounts where you save money in them and then invest those funds. And those are called non-qualified accounts, or I like to just call them regular. They're not qualified, meaning they're not associated with a retirement restriction. So there are all different kinds of ways to save. Like I said before, probably the hardest thing to do is just start. And I would recommend people, even if you're putting in $5 a paycheck, $10 a paycheck, just start. Once you start, you'll find that you're a little bit more motivated to do it. It's the hardest thing is to actually make that appointment or fill out that account paper. But get over that hump.
It's the habits. You're creating really good habits in this phase that are going to last for the rest of your life.
Right. And when you retire, your future self is going to be really happy that yourself today made those decisions to start saving.
So what is this middle phase before you get to the preservation phase?
Well, the transition phase is when you're just about to retire, probably 5 to 7 years to retirement. And this is where you're going to start looking at the pieces of your portfolio that you have that you can put into place that's going to position you for a good retirement. You start looking at what are your needs going to be? What are your wants and your wishes for retirement? You might have a financial plan done. A financial plan is something that you work through that drills down deep into these different wants and needs. And you can start thinking about, well, what do I really want to do? Do I want to go to Florida in the winter? Do I want to go to Arizona? Do I want to travel? Do I want to have a boat? Maybe you want to stay in Traverse City because you love Traverse City. So there's a lot of things to think through. What do you want to do? So that it gives you some direction as to what you're going to need to do that. So you're putting these pieces into place. You might pull back on some of the risk. Risk means how much you have maybe in higher volatile assets, which means things that change. So market assets, you might want to pull back on maybe some more of your risky investments and be a little bit more conservative, because you do not have that timeline in front of you to whether some downturns or upturns in the market as easily as if you had a longer timeline. So transition is where you're still working, you still have the flexibility to make some changes to get you where you want to be, but you're starting to put those pieces into place and you're buying those investments that are going to get you there.
And this is a great time to come see you.
Yeah, it's a great time to come in and see your financial advisor. In fact, something that Shay and I talk about a lot at Flourish is having a professional network. So not only should you have a financial advisor, you want to have an attorney or a CPA or someone who counsels you on your health care, seeing that that is one of your biggest costs in retirement is health care. And if you build up this network where you start to meet with these people before you reach some of these decision-making points, you will have a network that you can trust to go and give you good answers to the questions you need answered.
Yeah, and building that team and that network is, I would say, you can disagree with me here, Heidi, almost as important as knowing about the money.
It is. Well, it is, because you can't know everything about everything. You need people who, this is what they do, and this is what they study, and they know it really well. And you, by putting all these people together on your team, hopefully you'll get to the best result that way.
I love it. And then what's the final phase?
Preservation is when you're already retired and you're no longer bringing in income from a job or something like that. You're drawing money from your portfolio or your assets to supply those income needs. Of course, we all have Social Security. Some people have pensions. That would be piece of it. But as well, if you need to draw money from an IRA or from some of your savings to get you to that income that you need to maintain that standard of living that you want to have, or to be able to do those things that you want to do. So that's where you become even more conservative. You want to take a look at where you're investing your money to make sure that you're not putting it something at risk, because you need this money to last throughout your lifetime at this point, and it's not being resupplied by income or salary.
All right, Heidi, you gave them the three phases. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Moving on to who would meet with a financial planner?
Well, anybody who is going to retire someday should meet with a financial advisor. So that's almost everybody. So anybody, people who are hitting milestones in their life, they might have more of a push to come in to see someone. Someone who's thinking about retirement, somebody who's changing jobs and doesn't know what to do with that 401k. And people who have money in motion, where maybe you got a large inheritance, or you want to start putting some things in place, or you just want to start. You have never started and you want to start. So these are all different things that can motivate people to come in and see a financial advisor. The more complex your situation is, the earlier I would come in to see an advisor. But definitely people who are in that transition stage, that if you haven't seen a financial advisor yet, it might be worth going in and checking one out and asking some of the questions to see if it's somebody that could help you or that you fit well with, that you trust to help guide you.
Sure. And at Prout Financial Design, people can meet with us at no cost. The first meeting is always offered as a complimentary meeting. Beyond that, you can become a consulting client if you don't meet our minimums, or if you do meet our minimums and you still want to manage your money on your own, you can do that. So obviously, your free will, right? It's a great thing. But if you want to sit down with Dennis or Heidi once a year and just kind of benchmark where you're at and make sure you're feel good about the decisions you're making, they'll do that as well. Talk about our staff. I feel like people think that the only people that work are Prout because of the radio show are you, me, and Dennis, but there's actually 10 of us.
Yeah, there's a whole team behind us. Yes. And they help us to be able to do the things we do and to be take care of our clients so well and proactively. We're always trying to think of the next thing or inform our clients of opportunities that come up. So we have 3 people in our client account department, and we have Meg, who most people have met if you're a client. She's the person you see when you walk in the front door. And we have someone else who works on our asset management system and makes sure that all the information and data that clients receive on their portal and on their reports is accurate and correct and up to date. So we have a whole team. We also have someone who works on annuities for us and helps us with the paperwork on that end. So it takes a lot of people to do what we do, but we always want to do the best we can for our clients. And so we invest in them by having a complete team behind us.
So what does that mean? Like, give them an example, because I sit in the middle of the office. I can hear everybody all day taking care of details. So what are some of the details that when people retire and they want to be out hanging out with the grandkids, taking vacations, living their retirement, what type of details do we take care of that they don't have to?
Well, we take care of things like RMDs, which are your required minimum distributions. We have somebody who checks everybody who needs to take an RMD to checks and make sure that RMD is taken by the end of the year so that they don't have the penalty. And the penalty with RMDs is sort of steep. It's 50%.
Yep.
And in conjunction with that, if people want to do QCDs, which are qualified charitable distributions, we do that. We do all the paperwork. Our clients do not need to call 2 or 3 different vendors. They can call us and we'll take care of all the paperwork, talking with the people in the back room. If they have a problem, they call us, we solve it. So we're sort of there on their team to back them up so that they don't have to spend hours on the phone or try to understand a complex form that they need to fill out or what the tax implications are. They can come in, they can call and have somebody there that can answer their questions and just streamline things so that people can have the confidence and say, yes, I know that's taken care of, so that they can check that off and they don't need to worry about it anymore.
There's a lot of detail. There's a lot of back and forth with vendors that
Yep. There's a lot, and everybody's heard those phone trees where, you know, push 1, push 3, push 5.
Let our office do it. You can go kayaking with the kids. So, speaking of summer, what are you looking forward to this summer?
The great thing about Traverse City when you live here is, like, all your family comes back every summer. So you get to visit with a lot of people and see people you haven't seen in a while. And there's the beautiful outdoors, getting out on the lake, not having to wear a coat. Or boots.
Oh, what's that like? What's that like? It's a distant memory.
Those are things I look forward to. We can just get to the point where we don't need a coat.
That would be amazing. I'm hoping for that. So listen, thanks so much for tuning in today. Thank you, Heidi, for all the valuable information. We covered a lot of ground. If you want to meet with Heidi, just call our office. Our number is 947-3992. Meg can take that call for you. She's our client relations gal. Meg is awesome. She'll get you in to see Heidi or Dennis, either of them. If your financial situation has some complexity and you would like someone to help you navigate the best, let's say, we could even say the best 3 possible outcomes, that's something that Prout Financial Design can help you look at and help you decide so that you can move forward and enjoy your retirement. Let us take care of the details. So thanks so much for tuning in.
And we want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Happy Mother's Day. Yes. And I'm going to read your disclosure one more time, Heidi.
Okay.
The world's most awesome mom. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, CAS, a registered investment advisor.
Thanks, Shay.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.